imagine being on a date and then your date asks you what you do for a living. And you look at them. Yeah, yeah, I do. I'm a network security engineer. Yeah. You know, I do a little something, something on the, you know, IT. So sorry to interrupt this video. According to my YouTube analytics, 84% of my viewers are not subscribed. So if I have provided value to you in any way in any of my episodes and you're not subscribed, please consider doing so as it does help out the channel. It helps me to keep putting out content. And then also if you're listening in your favorite podcasting app, please leave me a review and share this with a friend. Now back to the episode. Welcome to Debt Free in IT. I'm your host, Mike. This podcast is for anyone who's looking to get into the IT industry, whether it's for a career change or you're just interested, I think you come to the right place. The road to network security engineer can be a grind. It could take years. It could cause a lot of sleepless nights, especially if you're in a position where you're on call. So this role also comes with great responsibility. You're sort of like the police for your enterprise. You control what websites and applications users can access. You decide what's safe and what's not. And let's face it, you're probably the most hated department in your organization. So when users can't access something, blame security. When users can't go on Facebook or YouTube, see what's going on in the Facebook streets, blame security. On a positive note, being a network security engineer has enough positives to outweigh the negatives. It has job flexibility. A lot of these roles can be done remote. It opens up the door to different opportunities. And you also have job security. So let's face it, the security field is probably the most in-demand field right now. And let's not forget, these network security roles can also pay quite well. Another thing that may be an added bonus for you or some people is that it's a great talking point because most people actually do not know what a network security engineer does. Most people ain't even going to know what that title means. So imagine being on a date and then your date asks you what you do for a living. And you look at them. Yeah, I do. I'm a network security engineer. Yeah. You know, I do a little something on the, you know, IT. Let's get to it. My network security engineer roadmap. So the first thing in this roadmap you always got to cover with any roadmap is your education and your certifications. So when thinking about what type of education or certifications you may be going after, this is where you're going to decide which one best suits you. So my advice is, as always, if you're self-motivated, if you can stick to a goal without being forced, then you may be able to go that self-study route and just go after some certifications. But most people can't do this. If you never stuck to anything in your life, you pretty much don't need to be trying to go the self-study route. You need to go ahead, enroll in somebody's course or somebody's school where you're going to have those deadlines that's going to push you to go ahead and complete that course. A lot of times, most people, that's the route we end up going in. Some we may enroll in a school, whether that's a four-year college or a two-year college. A lot of times the school has different options for degrees. You could even go for a certificate. But a lot of times that school is going to have those deadlines that's going to force you to complete it. So if you can go the self-study route, that's cool. But like I said, the majority of folks is probably going to end up going a school route or some form where you have those deadlines that's kind of going to push you to complete it and push you to learn whatever technology you're going at. So then whichever route you choose to go, your goal should be to obtain a certification, a certificate, or a degree. At this point, there are three certifications that you should probably aim for around this range. You don't have to get all three of them, but I would say try to get one or two. And those certs is going to be the Network Plus, Security Plus, and CCNA. Honorable mention, I would say the A Plus, and that's if you're totally new to everything, if you're coming from ground zero. A couple of possible combinations from those certifications I listed that you could get. I would say either the Network Plus and Security Plus or the CCNA and Security Plus. Most of these is going to lean you towards that security route. Some people may say that CCNA is overkill, but for me, I think it makes a lot of those network security technologies easier to learn. Now, if you was aiming for something like internet security or maybe cybersecurity, a lot of times I would say you probably definitely wouldn't need that CCNA, but with network security, you got to think you're going to be actually configuring and learning to configure a lot of firewall applications and hardware too. So a lot of things you learn in that CCNA carries over to that network security role, because a lot of those same protocols, it's the same thing you're going to learn in CCNA, except for in the CCNA, you're configuring the network. And then in with network security, you're configuring the firewalls and things on the network, which CCNA for networking doesn't really cover. And then after getting those certifications, when you start to advance and start to learn a little bit more, then you can start pursuing other security certs that teaches you more into how to configure and apply popular security solutions. Some of the most popular ones is probably going to be the CCNP security and also Palo Alto's. They have a PCNSA certification, and also Fortinet. They have a certified professional certification. So those are just the big name players in the security industry when it comes to network security solutions like firewalls. Those are most organizations is probably going to be using a mix of one of those vendors or maybe all three of those vendors. So while you're sharpening up your skill set and you're getting a lot of other certifications, maybe some professional certifications, another thing you're going to want to do is start thinking of ways to gain experience, that hands-on experience. Exactly. So this is where you're going to be using either physical equipment that you may have to set up different labs and projects around your environment or around your household. Or like I said, you could go the application route where you buy an application, you can set up a virtual environment, but you're going to need some kind of way to get this hands-on experience. And then also building projects, you can build them in a test environment. And then also you can start looking for possible internships. You know, you could check for local businesses around your area and see if you can provide any help to them. And because a lot of smaller businesses, they can't afford to have on staff IT support. So that's one way that you can start building that experience is go to a lot of local businesses, see what needs they may have. They may have some security needs. Certainly, they're going to have some need for someone to help with virus removals and things like that, even though that's not really advanced. But it is gaining some sort of real world experience. So you can go to these local businesses, maybe different schools, maybe the school that you went to educate yourself. A lot of times those schools could have opportunities for you to work with them as a work study, or they could have different companies around the area that they have a relationship with where they can send you to and have you intern for them. Or maybe even that company could pay you a little bit. A lot of times they may not pay you what you would get as a full-time employee, as a regular employee, but the most valuable thing is you're getting that real world experience. So after you get those certifications and you get your education up, start looking to gain that experience. And then something else to look at while you're gaining experience, while you're looking for ways to get experience, is you want to always have good soft skills. So sometimes the IT industry is not going to be all technical. You want to have some good communication skills. That's going to be key to the industry, because most of the time you're going to be dealing with either users calling in, or you're going to have to communicate with other people in the IT industry that may be in a different department. So a lot of times you're going to be dealing with users that don't exactly know what you know, especially if you're in, let's say you're in networking, you're dealing with another group. Let's say you're dealing with someone on the server team. They're not going to know the networking part because they're going to need to know their job. So you're going to need to learn how to have those soft skills where you can interact with those users without having any issues. You know, a lot of times you're going to have run across many personalities in this industry. So you want to make sure your soft skills is good. A lot of times if you have any kind of customer service jobs, like for me, I worked at Advance for a while. I worked at a call center for a brief stint. Even when I was younger coming up, I worked at a grocery store. So I had plenty of customer service jobs where my soft skills was pretty good. You know, it was it wasn't the best, but like I said, from having those customer service jobs, it made me have increase my soft skills a little bit and be able to communicate with different people without having issues. So after getting educated and then getting your certifications and then working on your skills, then gaining experience, and then also working on those soft skills, the next thing we're going to do is start trying to land our first role or start trying to get our foot in the door. So our end goal here is to be a network security engineer. So when applying, we're going to start looking for roles such as security analyst, security admin, technicians, network security admin, network security analyst, somewhere along those lines. So you want to always remember the hierarchy of IT. So you have where you have a technician, Then you have an admin or analyst. And then after that, you move on up to an engineer. So when we start applying, we're going to be applying to those roles. And then if we don't get no hits from applying for those roles, that's when you want to scale it back and start going for either a help desk or a desktop role. Because a lot of times we're coming into this with no experience at all. So this is where we're going to start trying to get positions at those roles just to get our foot in the door. And then once we get our foot in the door, you want to come in with the end in mind. You want to have a play. You want to have a plan in your head. So this is where you're going to start to learn how enterprise operates and then learn how the enterprise functions. And you also get an enterprise experience. So during this time, you can also start networking with other IT departments. So one thing is, if you're coming in at a help desk or desktop, a lot of times you're going to interact with other IT departments. So you're going to have to call on those network security engineers for help sometime. So by you calling on them for help, it helps build a rapport with them because they're going to start to know your name because you're going to be calling them quite often. So they're going to start to know your name. And then also, as you get that good rapport with them, you can ask them, what's the qualifications to become a network security engineer for that position or for that organization? So this is where they can help you to figure out, okay, to get up here, we ask that you have this certification. Or they may not ask for a certification at all. So because once you're in the door and they learn about you and they see that you got a good attitude, your customer service is good, a lot of times they can teach you the job. So once they get you in there, you figure out what's the criteria. Also, while you're figuring out what's the criteria, what this is going to do is going to put you on their radar. So this is going to put you on that manager's radar, also going to put you on the employee's radar. So then when a position comes open, you'll be first in mind. So you see a position open, one of the employees may tell you, hey, we got a position open. I think you should apply for it. And then that way, you have a better chance of ending up in that network security role in that or either on that security department or either somewhere closer to making your end goal. And then after you make that step and you end up getting up to that security department, one thing you want to keep in mind is that this IT industry is a always learning industry. So throughout your career, no matter which department you end up in, especially in security and other department, higher up departments, a lot of times you're going to always have technology that's coming around. So technology moves fast. By the time you graduate and learn one thing out in the real world, they're probably 2 years ahead. So you're going to always be learning about different new technologies. And like I said, time you think you learned one thing, bam, something else coming around. So you're going to always stay learning. So you got to be a lifetime learner in this industry. So when you move up, if you happen to move up as a technician and then you get into that industry, you move up as a technician in that security department, then after that, you can start better navigating to where you want to end up at. Because once you get in as that technician, the requirement may be, okay, you need a professional certification to move up to the next level. Or it may be you need a professional certification and 2 years of experience. So once you get here, you're able to move up. And then also, if you get there within that first organization, then you can also, after you get those couple years of experience, maybe an engineer position ain't coming open for you. Then you can start shooting out to other organizations and just see what kind of feedback you're getting from other organizations. And then maybe, not telling you to leave, but if the other organization make you an offer and you're coming in at a position that you want to be at, and also they're going to train you and they're going to take the time to groom you, and you went through those interviews and they seem like they got a good team, they got a lot of people you can learn from, then that may be your deciding factor to go ahead and switch organizations. But one thing is, you're going to always be learning. So just to recap, once you get in the door with your first role, you're going to start making your way to that security team. Then from being a member of the security team, you're going to start see how security branches out in many paths. So you may decide that you want to go from network security to pen testing or to ethical hacking. So if you get in that security position and you decide you want to pivot to something else in security, I think the same roadmap that we just went over, I think is going to set you up for success because it covers a lot of their security bases. So a lot of things is having that fundamental knowledge. So having that fundamental knowledge of security, and also along this way, you're going to have that fundamental knowledge of networking. I think there's a great foundation to have where you can start building on it with any other role. So it's just going to make whatever else you try to learn, it's going to make it that much easier, because every other role going to have some sort of networking element to it. It's going to have some sort of security element to it. So you're just going to have to learn whatever the new features is, the new technologies, and the new configurations. So that roadmap that we just went over, I think is going to provide you that overall foundational knowledge to help you up and set you up for success. So that brings me to the end of this episode. Hopefully you found value in this episode. If you're watching via YouTube, please subscribe and share this video with a friend. If you're on Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook, you can follow me at DebtFriendIT. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at DebtFriendIT@gmail.com, or you can go to the website DebtFriendITwithMike.com. Other than that, I'll see you next week. Peace.